Thank God I'm saved. Thank God I'm saved. I'm drawing water out of the wells of salvation with joy. Drawing waters out of the well of salvation. Thank God I'm saved. Hallelujah. I want you to reach over, young people. Grab your Bibles and open them with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 6. Genesis, chapter 6. And I want to begin reading in verse number 13. When you have it, if you would stand, please. Things change from one camp to the next camp. I believe this time last year, I told all the young ladies over here that I needed at least two of them to shout amen to me while I was preaching, because I married off my last daughter last year, and my girls grew up in this camp, and when they were here, if I couldn't get an amen out of anybody, I knew I could get an amen out of my baby girls. And so, well, today I need two girls to amen me. When nobody else amen me, I want to hear you say amen. What two girls will help me? Ooh, there's more than two. That's all right. Come on. But I got to tell you, that'll just be for a little while, because I'm getting another baby girl who's going to grow up in this camp at the Lord Terrace. Hallelujah. She'll be here somewhere after Thanksgiving, and next year we'll have the opportunity to introduce her to you in person. Watch the Facebook for pictures. Somewhere around Thanksgiving or after, little baby Chloe Danae will hit this earth. Come on. And I'm getting all the naps that I can grab at 45 years old, because, come on, somebody. Amen. But I'm glad to be saved. If you're glad to be saved, turn around and give you two or three people a high five and say, I'm glad to be saved. I'm glad to be saved. Hallelujah. Great God Almighty. That's good. That's good. Y'all doing good now. We're not going to slap hands all day. Genesis chapter 6, verse 13. And God said... How many knows that makes a difference? Oh, I said, how many knows that makes a difference? And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth, watch this, is filled with violence through them. One commentator said, for the earth is filled with violence from their faces. Now, the idea is here, the commentator says, that they knew what they were doing and thereby, in effect, dared God, with the look on their faces, to stop them from committing their violent deeds. God said, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. But somebody shout, thank God for Noah. Because if Noah hadn't been found by God, if he hadn't been there, the earth would have went right back to where it was in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. But God found one man. God found one. God's always looking for one. One is the number that he looks for to preserve a generation. How many lift your hand and shout, I'm going to be that one that's going to serve the Lord if nobody else does. Now watch, he said, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shall you make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which you shall make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the width of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. That is, one commentator said, 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Ooh. Somebody shout, ooh. Say, that's a big boat. A window shall you make to the ark, and in a cubit shall you finish it above, and the door of the ark shall you set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories will you make it. Behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth. He's talking to Noah to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. This was the apocalypse of Noah's day. The end of things in Noah's day. Apocalypse. The end of things in Noah's day. And everything that is in the earth shall die. But with you will I establish my covenant. And you shall come into the ark, you and your sons and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. Jesus said, and I paraphrase, that in the last days it shall be as it was in the days of Noah. God is looking for Noahs. He's looking for a Noah generation. Somebody shout, that's me. For God looked across the earth in a day of violence and wickedness, and their very thoughts, every thought they dwelled on night and day, the sum total of their thoughts was to do another wicked deed. And it said, but Noah found grace. Somebody shout grace. Shout favor. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, because Noah was a righteous man. Righteous because he had faith in Jehovah God and his sufficiency. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, thank you right now for this great host of young people that have assembled here. Many of them, Lord, have had car washes and bake sales and walk-a-thons and rock-a-thons, and their parents have given and sacrificially that they could be here this week closed in with you on this campus. And I pray, as is my part this morning, as has been happening all week long and will happen again tonight, that you would fill this place with your glory, that you would inspire and anoint my lips as your representative this morning, that I can, Lord Jesus, be your mouthpiece to these young people, to these teenagers this morning. Challenge us and change us, transform us and move us against the gates of hell. Lord God, while we have time, make us overcomers in Jesus' precious name. Everybody shout amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We've come to this passage of Scripture in Genesis chapter 6. It is amazing. I heard one preacher take and talk about our King James Bible, of which we recently celebrated several, somebody help me, 400 years. Thank you, my brother. That's a little different than 4,000. That's almost what I said. And I was thinking, it can't be 4,000. 400 years we just celebrated the King James Version. One preacher took and the numbers of the, what we call chapters and divisions and verses, he pointed out strategic things. Now, this guy that preached for me several years ago when I was in Picton, Texas, was not some quack like the quack who recently made the church look bad. Come on, somebody. But that don't matter none. One preacher said, I climbed up in the pulpit the next Sunday, jumped up in the pulpit and said, I still believe in the rapture. Oh, y'all too quiet. I still believe in the rapture. Hallelujah. But this preacher that preached for me years ago pointed out the very center of the Bible and what it said. And it was good. Well, this morning I was reading again, and I noticed this is in chapter 6. Chapter 6, in God's numerical system, is a number of man. And here in chapter 6, man has come face to face with the judgment of God. The apocalyptic time of Noah's day begins. The end of things, apocalypse, the end of things begins here as God declares his divine plan and judgment. I'm going to send a flood. In chapter 6, numerical system of God representing man, man comes face to face with God. Matter of fact, we get the implication here that man's face in his facial features was a facial feature of pride and arrogance, a facial feature of rebellion. Come on, somebody. a facial feature of I don't believe what you're saying, just the features of his face declared it. His body language, in other words. And I've preached many times since I was 15 years old, and as I grew in the ministry, I preached many revivals and et cetera, et cetera. And I have seen people's facial features, Brother Joy Sweeney. I've seen people's facial features, their body language while I preached. I was pastoring one church between here and Russia. How many knows where that's at? I didn't expect you to. Between here and Russia, and one of the leaders of the church, the secretary's husband, kind of got crossway with me on some things. And so I remember when he got crossway with me, Brother Barley, I was preaching, boy, I was just coming on with it. Woo. And I looked across, he's on this side, and I looked across there, and he had his arms folded, like is at a powwow, looking straight ahead, dead straight ahead, just clenching his teeth, jaw muscles working. I don't know if I went from the anointing to the flesh. One of my preacher friends said, I'm half anointed and half mad. He said, that's why I do my best preaching. Well, I guess that was me. And so I just run over to this side. And whatever he's looking at up there, I got right in the way. And I said, glory to God. Come on, somebody. Woo, Lord. So when you get back home in your youth group and youth pastor's preaching or your pastor's preaching, I always sit there like this. Because they know. They can tell by looking. God could tell by looking on the faces of men. They didn't, you know, their actions betrayed them and all, but God could tell by looking. It done got a hold of them till it affected their facial feature, their body language. And God said, the cup of my wrath is full. I've had enough. Come on, somebody. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And God in his righteous anger told Noah, I'm going to send a flood. I'm going to flood this whole earth, and all flesh is going to die. But you, Noah, have found grace. You have found favor in my eyes, for you are righteous because of your faith in me and my sufficiency, my power, my provision. Your love for me has caused me to shed grace upon you, Noah. Hallelujah. And so in chapter 6, though we see the failure of man in a great way until it provoked God's judgment, yet we see one man in chapter 6, Jack 6 being the number man, we see one man who would not surrender to the wickedness and the debauchery of his day, but rather when everybody else, my daddy had this old saying, you know, I was a kid growing up, and I'd want to do the things that my neighbors were doing, and they were wrong, and most time it was sin, and daddy'd catch me in a lie. You know what happened with daddy, my daddy, and how when I lied, and he'd always say, I'd say, but so-and-so did so-and-so, daddy, he'd whoop the tar out of me. Oh, y'all didn't hear that, did you? He'd whoop the tar out of me, that deacon daddy of mine. Then he'd say, if everybody else was jumping off the edge of a cliff, I guess you'd jump off with them, wouldn't you? I said, well, I didn't say nothing. I just, come on, somebody. Woo. Yes, yes. And so God found one man who said, all the rest of them would jump off the cliff of judgment with God and provoke God to wrath if they want to, but I'm going to serve him. I'm going to be righteous. In the midst of this wicked generation, I'm going to be righteous. And Noah must have felt the compromise, the temptation of compromise, the temptation to go the way the rest of the world was going. Come on, somebody. He must have felt it, but I promise you Noah had an altar. I said, I promise you Noah had a prayer room. I promise you Noah had a place where he could go and get a hold of God. But how you know, Pastor? Because I can tell you when that ark finally situated up on Mount Ararat and the door, he let the door down. God released his seal on the door, and the door was let down. The first thing Noah did, Bible students, was he built him an altar. Oh, y'all too quiet in here. Y'all must still be asleep. So I'm going to get right out of here where you're at. I'm going to look you right in the eyes. I said the first thing Noah did when he got off the ark was he built him an altar. Somebody shout altar. Girl, you need an altar. It'll change your life. It'll turn you around. Somebody shout, I'm going to have an altar. Shout, I'm going to be the one. Say, I'm going to be the one. Everybody else may have a hot rod, boys. I said they may have a hot rod. Girls, they may have the latest dress towel, the latest fancy shoes. But hallelujah, I'm going to have what most of my friends at school don't have. I'm going to have an altar. I'm going to have an altar. Hallelujah, because I'm going to be different. I'm going to be different. They may wear their jeans, boys, all hanging low. Baggy britches. Come on, somebody. Got a piercing in their lip, in the nose, in the ear. Oh, Lord. They all time have to do this number. Come on, somebody. In case you hadn't noticed, things changed from one camp to the next. Last camp, I weighed almost 278 pounds. I went to my doctor, and that's when we found out little Chloe was coming in. And the other doctor I'd been to, he kind of chewed me out. Well, I didn't really like being chewed out by a real teensy, tiny doctor. And that's no lie. I mean, he's skinny. Looked like bones covered with skin. And I weighed 278 pounds, and he was going to chew me out. Come on. I just sat there with my mouth closed and looked at him. That didn't help me none. But then I went to another doctor, and that doctor was real nice. Talked to me friendly, asked me about my family, about my daddy, all that. And we talked and had a good time. And he just finally said, Mr. Tom, he said, I'm just going to tell you, it's this way, in a nice way. Told me what I need to do. If you're going to be around for your family, you're going to have to change some things. You have to get some of that weight off. You're going to have to start walking. Get your heart rate up. Come on. And my wife, I went home, told her that I was borderline diabetic. And she said, I've been telling you. Come on, somebody. She said, we got kids that are married. They're going to have our grandkids, and if you're going to be around, enjoy them. You need to change some things. I said, at the mouth of two or three witnesses. I said, all right. Then I found out little Chloe was coming. I said, I got to be around at least till I'm 70, because when I'm almost 65, she's going to graduate from high school. Come on, somebody. And when I go to her high school graduation, they're going to say, is that your grandpa? They know that's my daddy. I'm determined. At her graduation, I'm not going in on no walker. I'm going in like I'm still 40. Come on, somebody. But I said that to say this. You know, their britches falling. They all the time doing this. Well, I've lost all that weight. And boy, it's so aggravating. I had to pull these suit pants up. That's why I got my belt. I had to put another hole in my belt and pull it real tight. Come on, somebody. Woo. But, you know, everybody else wearing their britches low. You know, even girls now got tattoos all up and down the arm, a ring in the tongue, a ring in the ear. I'm talking about all of this. Come on, the heathenistic spirit of this age. Come on, somebody. Their body language, the things they do, their facial expressions are telling God, we don't need you, God. They're telling God, there ain't no God. And we're always going to be on this earth, and we're going to do what we want to do. Well, I got news for you. Come on, somebody. I believe I'm amongst a bunch of people this morning, a bunch of teenagers, boys and girls who shout, I'm going to be a Noah generation. We're going to be a Noah generation. Wear your britches low. Wear your tongue rings and your eye rings and get your tattoos if you want to. But blessed be God, I'm going to build me an altar. I'm going to be different. I'm going to stand up and be righteous. Come on. Woo. Hey, somebody shout, I'm rapture ready. Shout, I'm rapture ready. Come on, lift your hands and shout, I'm rapture ready. Well, now, We, chapter 6, verse 13 to 18, we see God speaking to Noah in this apocalyptic time of Noah's day. And God begins to give him instructions because he wants Noah to be preserved. He wants Noah to be saved. And so therefore, he tells Noah to build an ark. Now, ain't nobody in that day, not even Noah, ever seen an ark. God, what is an ark? God said, here's the blueprint, gave it to him. I don't know all about how God gave it to him. I don't know, but just gave him the plan. I just spoke into his spirit, and you know, he wrote it down. I don't know. But he had a plan to build an ark because he said, you're going to have that ark to save you. That ark, you build it the way I tell you, build it, do what I tell you, it's going to float. When the rain starts coming down, what's rain? You never seen no rain. Well, God said it. If it's going to rain, then I'm going to do what God says because it's going to rain. Oh, y'all too quiet in here. Come on. One of my favorite evangelists I was growing up, Brother Danny Hudson, used to say, he's from Tulsa. He used to say when I was a kid about your age, 15, he'd come to my home church and preach. He'd say, if God told you, and we lived down by Muddy Boggy River down southeast Oklahoma. He said, if God told you tomorrow to get down to Muddy Boggy because it's going to be flowing with chocolate pudding, said, you better get you a bowl and a spoon and get on down there. Shout out. Woo! Brother Abear, I'm telling you right now, if God said it's going to rain, they ain't never seen no rain. But Noah said, I tell you one thing, I'm going to start building an ark because it's going to rain. Hey! Woo! So Noah started building his ark. Now, the title of my subject this morning is in these words, the old boat. That's what you see in chapter 6. Not OLD, but OLE. The old boat. Would you shout the old boat? The old boat. So Noah built the old boat. Yes, sir. Now, you understand that in Noah's day when he built that old boat, there was probably others in his generation for whatever reason decided that, you know, they're going to do something sort of like that, you know, and they want to try to copy Noah's old boat, you know, and maybe he had some folks that would come and help him work on the boat. Come on with their families, carry a saw and a tape measure and you know, and do the things go along with construction. But then Noah, the Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness. You know, they'd stay with him. But when they'd stay with him long as say, you know, we're going to be saved and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But then when he said, judgment is coming, it's going to rain. And if you're going to be saved, you got to get on this old boat. You got to serve God. You got to be faithful to him. And when he did, those men would lay down their skill saw, grab their wives and the kids, and leave the old boat. Come on, how many's following me this morning? Oh, yes, oh, yeah. And so the devil always wants to be a copycat. Now, the Bible don't record it. This is just my interpretation, okay? But the devil always wants to be a copycat. So he got a hold of somebody in Noah's day, and they thought, well, you know, we'll build us something that looks like that. Come on. And so one family would get mad at Noah and say, well, I'm going to go down here. I'm going to go to the other side of town because I don't want Noah's old boat. They got a new boat over there. Uh-oh. Come on, sir. They got a new boat over on the other side of town. Don't require much of you. Oh, Lord. They got a new boat on the other side of town. They got strobe lights, red, yellow, black, and blue. And somebody said it this morning, last night, said they got the room all dark. Got a little bit of light. Looks like you walked into a bar room. Come on, somebody, instead of a church. Too quiet up in here. Did of a church house. And for my little kiddies, for my little kiddos, they got Bojangles the clown, and he juggles monkeys, and they give out popsicles every Sunday, and they take the youth to Colorado skiing. And you know, we got to go to church somewhere where my kids will want to go to church. I wish I had somebody to help me while I preach. I must be hitting pay dirt somewhere. Oh, Lord. Y'all better smile. You better get a smile on your face. You may be half asleep, but you better grin while you're sleeping. Come on, somebody. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No, no. You know, we got to go somewhere where our kids don't want to go to church on Sunday. Call. They don't want to go down to the old boat. Daddy, Mama, do we have to go that old boat this Sunday? They don't have church, but on Sunday, they just have church on Sunday morning. And you know, Sunday night, we could watch Walt Disney, and we could go play in the park, go skiing, go down the lake, go swimming, have a picnic on Sunday night. Because my friend who goes down at the new boat said they have family night every Sunday night. And they don't go to church. Do we have to go that old boat? So Mom and Daddy feels the pressure. They say, well, they come see the pastor, Pastor Noah. Can we talk to you? Yeah. Pastor Noah, our kids are getting frustrated. They don't want to come to church. They don't want to come to the old boat. They want to go, they're looking to go to another boat. And we feel like we need to go to a new boat where they'll want to be at, where they want to go to the boat every time we go to the old boat. I mean to the new boat. Pastor Noah probably was sort of like me and some of your old boat pastors. How many old boat pastors do we have this morning? Oh, come on, man. Old boat pastors and old boat evangelists. He probably looked across that desk, pulled his glasses down, laid his blueprint aside. He said, do what? And that old pastor probably said, well, of course, Proverbs weren't around then, but I'm sure he had the same wisdom of Solomon. He said, you know that old peach tree down the road from your house? Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes, sir, yes. Do you like the old boat? Well, Mom and Dad said, well, it's, you know, it's all right. We can feel something. When we come in here, we can feel something, you know. But they never change. They just feel something. But Johnny and Susie, you know, Pastor, we got to go to a new boat where they want to go. And so Noah just lays his glasses on top of his blueprint and said, that old peach tree, go down there and get you a knife and cut off a piece of limb about yay long. And on Sunday night and morning, especially Sunday night when they say, oh, I want to go to the old boat. Preacher preaches too long. It's about the time they do that. Tell them, say, stand up, Jimmy. Turn around. We're going to the old boat. Don't ask me again. Every time Sunday night rolls around, amen, you better get your clothes on. Get your shoes on. We're going to church. And when it's Wednesday night, we're going to go back to the old boat. And when it's revival, we're going to go back to the old boat. Monday, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. Woo! Somebody shout the old boat. Praise God, you may be seated. The old boat. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Where you get that at, Pastor Tom? Well, I got it from a full-blooded, choctaw Native American deacon. Oh, Lord. We didn't ask no question. You know, it's back in the day, too. Back in the 70s. I know y'all don't know when that was, but back in the 70s, every Saturday night, my daddy and my mama said, get your Sunday school book. You need to study your lesson. Every Saturday night, study a lesson. Woo, come on. Memorize your memory verse. Oh, come on, somebody. We got church tomorrow. I watched my old choctaw Indian deacon daddy on Saturday night get out his shoes. Get his shoe shining kit, he called it. Come on. Spit on that old shoe and get him a rag. Here's an old GI during World War II. Get that old dress shoe of his here. Flop, flop, flop. Get that rag and rub that black stuff, shoe polish all over. Come on. We going. What's going on, Daddy? I didn't have to ask. I knew. He's getting ready to go to church tomorrow. Come on. Oh, I feel a preacher in the house. We going to the old boat. Come on, somebody shout amen. Hallelujah. There is a difference, what I'm trying to tell you in this introduction. There is a difference. There is a unique and great contrast between the old boat and the new boats. I'm talking about the local churches that are in your community. If they're like Fort Smith in Greenwood, Arkansas, there is a church within 30 miles radius of where I'm at in Jenny Lind. There are at least 100 churches. I'm not playing. Come on. And it seemed like every 3 or 4 months there's another one sprang it up. You know, I just thought, you know, we was one of those about 4 years ago, and we had a lot of folks come through. They seen our church go up, the name of it's Crossroad Church. We had a lot of folks come through. Like, oh, we're going to join you, Pastor. We're going to be with you, Pastor. I'm behind you 100%. Come on, somebody. Woo, but I'm telling you the truth, when little Johnny and little Susie come to children's church and it wasn't but 5 other kids there, or they come to youth group and wasn't but one of the youth besides their young person, come on, they stayed for about a month or 3 months, then they got weary with the old boat, and I could take you by the hand and take you to the church they're going to this morning. It's just as loose as a goose. They run about 800 to 1,000. They're getting ready to build a dream center. A dream center. Oh Lord, we're gonna build a dream center. I don't so much against dream centers, but I'm telling you, you got to have something to have a dream of God. Come on, somebody. We're gonna build a dream center at my church. Oh, come on, somebody. I gotta tell you right now, my heart broke for that family. Why, Brother Tom? Because they walked away. That daddy laid down his skill saw, proverbially so, laid down his tape measure. He was on my deacon board. And he's in my first deacon board. And he just walked out, never said a word to me. And I found out he left the old boat for a new boat. Y'all too quiet. You better come on. There's a lot of new boats all around me. Spring it up. Hallelujah. I've had some folks come through my church thinking we were one of them. Oh, Lord. But when I went past 30 minutes, oh, Lord. When I started saying, you got to come to the cross, and one of our theme scriptures at Crossroad Church, I say it quite often. If Jesus said, if you come after me, you got to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Hallelujah. Woo! And they think, surely he don't believe that, baby. We'll stay around one more service and find out. They come back and I preach 45 minutes again. And I talk about how you need to pray. You need to be full of the Holy Ghost, speaking out of the tongue. You need to get in church and serve God. The rapture's about to happen. Oh, come on, somebody. And they elbow one and say, this ain't the one we're looking for. Let's go find a new church. I mean, a new boat. Woo, Lord. Let's go that pretty boat. Let's go down that new shiny boat. Let's go that one that's got a captain that's dressed to the T. I mean, no, I take that back. Dressed down. Oh, y'all better come on, help me preach. Some of you Holy Ghost filled young people, help me preach. We're gonna dress down. My preacher dresses down. I walk through the door, he's got on baggy jeans. And a Aeropostale, Abercrombie. Come on, somebody. Woo! And a pair of Nikes. Oh, y'all too quiet. Come on now. Woo, nice and all that sin. But I'm saying it sure is letting down something. My wife started working at the courthouse in Sebastian County Courthouse, Fort Smith. I go down there at noon. We go out to lunch quite a bit. And I see all these fellas in these slick suits, nice suits and fine ties and dress shoes. And we go to eat at a Mexican restaurant downtown. And all these folks come from the courthouse. And they come, they all dress, boy, I'm telling you. Woo. And I said, I guarantee you, every one of them are lawyers. She said, because she's met a lot of, most of them are all lawyers. Oh, come on, somebody. a lawyer. You know, that Casey Anthony trial come up. All those lawyers there, those men lawyers, every one of them had on a suit and a tie. Come on, somebody. They was dressing according to their profession. I'm going to dress according to my profession. You may not like this tie. You may not like this suit pants that I got on, but I'm a preacher. I'm a preacher. I'm a preacher. I've been a preacher since I was 15. God called me to be a preacher. God called me. I made a profession. I profess Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's my Savior. He's worthy. I profess I'm called to preach. And when I walk to that pulpit, I'm going to look like a preacher. Hey! The old boat. Somebody shout the old boat. Say the old boat, Pastor.
They ask you at school, say, where you go? Say, I go to the old boat. Come on, somebody. They say, where you go, church? They say, I go down to the old boat.
Where's that at? Faith Tabernacle. Where's that at? Crossroad Church. I got an old preacher. An old boat preacher. A what? An old boat preacher. See, that gives you a chance to witness to them. Somebody shout amen. But you can be seated if you want to. There is a contrast, I'm telling you. A difference between the old boat and the new boat. Real quick. Because the devil's going to try to lure you young people off the old boat. I said, he's going to try to get you off the old boat. Show you. Go try to get you off the old boat. Yes, sir. And he tries to do it real sly like, real sneaky like, you know, to get you off the old boat. That's why you got to have an altar. I said that's why you got to have an altar. That's why you got to be prayed to, full of the Holy Ghost. There will come a time when you will possibly grow old. No, you will grow old. But there will possibly come a time you may have to leave your old boat church to move for job's sake or whatever, college, whatever. And you're going to be looking for a church, but you're going to be looking for an old boat church. And I want to give you three basic essentials about this ark, about the old boat, that will help you know the difference and help you make sure you stay in an old boat church with an old boat pastor. Three basic essentials. They're in the scripture, Genesis chapter 6. God told Noah, build this ark, build this old boat, and build it out of gopher wood. Oh, come on, y'all didn't hear me. Build it out of gopher wood. Gopher wood, they tell me, and I don't know a lot about trees and plants, but when I looked it up, it said it's sort of like a cypress tree. A gopher tree, in other words, that's what I'm going to underscore. A gopher tree. Go cut down a bunch of gopher trees and mill the logs and make lumber out of the gopher wood. And with the gopher wood, you build an old boat out of gopher wood. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, the first essential, basic essential to notice the difference between an old boat church and a new boat church is just look at the material. You're looking for a church because you have to, because you've had to move or whatever. Don't go in there. Go look and see. Go looking around, see if they got a fancy praise and worship quote team, a praise and worship ministry. Go look in there, see if they got a good drummer, a good piano player. You go in there, you sit down in that pew, and you just start looking at the material. Come on, somebody. And the preacher's preaching, you just start looking and listen. Spiritually, you start looking. You're looking. They say, what you looking at? I'm looking at the material. What material? I'm looking to see what this boat's built out of. Oh, y'all too quiet. Wake up. Somebody hit your neighbor. Don't hit your neighbor. Tap your neighbor. Say, wake up. Say, he's preaching on the old boat. Come on. Say, he's preaching on the old boat. Say, what you looking for? I'm looking to see what this boat's built out of. What do you mean? Because if this is a boat, a good boat, if it's the old boat, I'll know it because it's built out of wood. Come on, somebody. And it's not just built out of any wood. Noah could have, but I know he didn't. He could have said, God, gopher wood. Gopher wood. How come I can't use cherry wood? It's prettier. Cherry wood or red oak. No, no, no. So it's not just any wood, but it's got to be gopher wood. What kind of, my church built out of wood. It's built out of cherry wood. See how pert it is? No, no, no. It's got to be built out of gopher wood. Gopher. Everybody say gopher wood. Hallelujah. It's got to be built out of wood. Got to be built out of gopher wood. Now, when I looked that up, this gopher wood and its meaning meant, and I paraphrase it, meant to encase, to enclose. Gopher in the Hebrew means to enclose, to encase, to surround about. Ah, Lord, come on, Brother Sweeney, Brother Abear. I'm going to go to a church that's built out of gopher wood. It's a kind of wood, it's a kind of wood. You know, we sing about it. On a hill, I don't know if y'all do, I'm sure you do. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. Oh, Lord, where my Savior suffered and died. Hallelujah, come on, somebody. That wood. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul said, when you get in an old boat church that's built out of that old gopher wood, it will offend people. It's going to offend most people. It's going to offend the smart. It's going to offend the intellect. It's going to offend those who are looking for something more prettier. Come on, but let it offend them. I'm going to stay with the old boat that's built out of the wood from Calvary's rugged hill and Calvary's rugged tree 2,000 years ago. God sent his only begotten son to die on an old tree, two cross beams and three nails. He built the old boat. Shout hallelujah. I'm talking about the cross of Jesus Christ. Woo! Hey, somebody shout gopher wood. It's going to offend folks. They say, what kind of church you got? It's built out of gopher wood. What do you mean? I'm talking about the cross of Jesus Christ. Oh, the cross. And so 1,000 years ago, some man preacher died on it. What are you talking about? It don't have no, yes, sir. It's still in effect today. I'm talking about the cross of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Come to the cross. Come to the cross. Go by way of the cross. Stay at the cross. Don't leave the cross. I'm telling you, don't leave the old boat that's built out of cross wood. Somebody shout amen. The cross of Jesus, because it will encompass you. It will encase you. It will surround you. It'll hold you when you're tired. It'll give you strength. When you need comfort, it'll comfort you. Come on, somebody. When you need joy, it'll give you joy. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my sin rolled away. Somebody shout. Oh! Hey, somebody shout the old boat. Gopher wood. I go to the gopher church. Where you go, church? Because see, we got all these fancy names. Or names, I won't say fancy. Names of these places called churches. Now, I was in town the other day in Fort Smith running to this young lady in her 20s. I used to pastor her. And I had a conversation. Where you going to church? Where you, your mom and them going to church? Well, we go down to the BOD TV church. I didn't do that, but inside I was going. I did, you know, I just being friendly. Oh, you do? Oh, okay. I was shaking my head all the way to the car. We got in the car. I said, baby doll, did I hear right? What'd you hear her say? She said, I think I heard her say the BOD TV church. The BOD? That sounded like an exercise place. Oh, y'all, come on. Don't look at me like that. The BOD TV. And it's one of these satellite churches where the preacher's up there on the screen. Now, technology will probably make it one day where he can see them. But right now, for I know most of those satellite churches, there's a preacher up there on the screen and he's preaching. And a lot of folks like that kind of church because they can read their Harlequin romance. Amen. Come on. And the preacher don't even know. Oh, y'all, come on now, somebody. I'm going to preach all day. I'm trying to help y'all get to heaven. I'm trying to get somebody ready for the rapture. They like that kind of church because the preacher can't see their facial language. One old-time preacher, I started preaching, I was 15, he said, Brother Mike, keep your eyes on open while you're preaching. It'll take a little while and just to do if you have to look over the heads of the people until you can. But one day, son, when you're pastoring and preaching, you need to be able to look the people right in the eyes and preach. Hallelujah. He said, because that old preacher said, you can tell something whether people are receiving it or rejecting it, getting glad or getting mad. He was right. Hallelujah. I go to an old boat church where the preacher is still standing there with a microphone in one hand and a sweat rag in the other. Come on, somebody, spitting on everybody on the first three rows, shouting the cross, the cross, the cross of Jesus will save your dying. If you believe it, shout amen. You may be seated. Number two, three basic essentials about the ark, the old boat. Number two, the pitch. Somebody shout the pitch. Now, this pitch was the glue. In essence, it held everything together, the glue. Somebody shout the glue. I looked it up and it's spelled B. Some of you folks maybe know a little more, but I think it's spelled B-U-I-T-E-U-M, something like that. Don't ask me to pronounce it. But I looked it up. It's like a glue substance. Noah, yes, Lord, build it out of gopher wood. Yes, sir, God. Hallelujah. I'm going to build it out of gopher wood. Come on, somebody. Ooh. Noah, when you get it built, pitch it within and without with pitch. Somebody shout pitch. The second basic essential to know whether it's an old boat or a new boat is see what it's got for the glue. See what kind of glue it's got. Come on. Because if it's got the right kind of glue, it's going to be pitch glue. Not super glue. Oh, y'all not with me. I said not super glue. Not J.B. Weld. Hallelujah. Not Elmer's glue. Oh, come on, somebody help me while I preach. I'm going to tell you, it's got to be pitch. It's got to be pitch. What is the pitch? I'll tell you what the pitch is. Go with me to Golgotha's rugged hill. Over 2,000 years ago, cast your weary eyes on that old rugged cross that the boat's built out of. For on that cross, you will see blood. I said you're going to see the red blood of a sinless Savior, the sacrificial lamb. His blood is all over the old wood on the old boat. Somebody shout hallelujah. Woo! Hey, the blood, somebody shout the blood covers the boat. Oh, shout the blood covers the old boat. Shout inside and outside. Shout it one more time and make every devil mad. Shout, I'm covered with the blood on the inside and on the outside. Shout, I'm on the old boat. I'm on the old boat. Hallelujah. Woo! Well, that old boat covered inside and outside with pitch. Thirdly, the next basic essential to the boat. God said, all right, build a door. Everybody shout a door. You know you can't get in anywhere if it ain't got a door. I mean, unless you knock one in, but. Shout a door. Say a door. Say the door. You're going to get on the boat. You got to go through the door. The door. I said the door. I said the door. Pastor Barley, the door. Ain't but one door to get on the old boat. Don't be sneaking around here this camp tonight and tomorrow. You may already have. Don't be sneaking around this camp trying to look for a back door. I really want to be in on this. I really feel something, but I'm going to get on the boat through the back door. And you're looking for a back door. You better stop at looking for a back door. It's fixing to start raining. God's judgment's going to hit, and you'll still be looking for a back door. Come on, somebody, shout the door. Ain't but one door, and it's the front door. I said it's the front door. If your pastor ever comes to your house to eat chicken or steak, don't invite him over and make him go through the back door. Hallelujah. You say, my old boat pastor is welcome, and he can come right through the front door. Shout out. Because folks that come to visit you and they have to come through the back door means you are, number one, embarrassed. And number two, you don't want nobody to see them coming in your house. Come on, somebody. Ain't but one door. It's the front door to get on the old boat. Because my old Baptist uncle, my old Southern Baptist uncles who are Baptist pastors, I've been in their churches. I've preached in Baptist churches. I preached in Picton, Texas, in a Baptist church. Brother Randy, the Southern Baptist pastor of the Southern Baptist Church, he's done wrinkled all of their North Texas Southern Baptist Association feathers. Come on, because he's already, this was back in 1997 or so, but now he's got a church where they shout, they speak in tongues, they run the aisle, he preaches, you need the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues to live a victorious Christian life. Hallelujah. But before he got there, he let little old Choctaw, I say little, take a few pounds back then. He let a Choctaw Pentecostal preacher come. We was eating at Subway. He invited me out. We was having preacher fellowship. He leaned across the Subway table. He said, Brother Mike. I said, yeah. He said, let's have fellowship one Sunday night. Matter of fact, he gave me a date. You bring your church over to my church. Bring Harmony Assembly of God over to my church over here to Elm Grove Southern Baptist. And our church will fix the fellowship meal. I said, good, yeah, you know. We'll come. Let's do that, Brother Randy. Then he leaned across the table. He said, Brother Mike. I said, yeah. He said, I want you to preach. I said, hallelujah. I just squeezed my Subway. Squeezed the bologna out. Now, come on. And he said, furthermore, Brother Mike, when you come to my church, he said, I want you to just let it go. Preach. I said, hey, I'm going to a Baptist church. I'm going to preach on Sunday night. And God gave me a message. I climbed to that Southern Baptist pulpit. And I preached on Elijah on Mount Carmel when the fire came out of the glory world. I'm telling you right now, those Baptist folk plumb out shouted my folk. They were on their feet clapping their hands. I told my folks about it that next Wednesday night. I said, y'all let a bunch of Southern Baptist folk out shout you. Come on, somebody. I'm on the old boat. The old boat ain't got but one door. It's the front door. Somebody shout the front door. My old Southern Baptist pastor, my uncle, and Brother Randy even told me. He said, Brother Tom, I got one request right before you preach. I said, what? He said, give an invitation. That's what we call altar calls. He said, I'd heard that before. Give an invitation, would you, brother? Brother Mike said, I got an old boy here tonight. He needs to repent. I knew what that invitation was. I said, all right, I'll do that, Brother Randy. Come on, somebody. An invitation. And they always say this. All those Baptist preachers I've been social with, they say, if you want to get saved, come forward. Come to the altar, come forward. And then they'll say, because everybody that came to Jesus came publicly and confessed the sin publicly. Somebody shout publicly. That's the front door. Don't be looking for no back door. You're not going to climb up the side of the boat and get in. You got to come through the front door unashamedly. I said unashamedly. Stand up and walk through the front door. Don't worry about who sees you. I am saved. I'm on the old boat. I'm going through the front door. Somebody shout the front door. Woo. Shout, I'm saved. My last point before I go get y'all's Coca-Cola's ready. Somebody shout hallelujah. Say the old boat. My last point is this. Who's in the ark? Who's in the ark? Somebody said Noah, Ham, Shem, Japheth. Who's in the ark? Their wives. Who's in the ark? That old big old elephant. Who's in the old boat? A skunk. Mind you, in the old boat, a skunk. I've seen some skunks on the old boat. Here in this earth. The old skunk is the one that sends forth a stink, likes to stir up a stink in the old boat, Brother Byerly. Don't raise your hand right now, old boat preachers, but y'all have had skunks on your boat. Those are the folks that need discipleship. Those are the folks you can't just kick them off the ark. Because they're stirring up a stink. You got to call them over to the office and say, now, you're going to have to sit down a little bit. You need some more transformation. I'm here to help you. Get over your anger problem. Get over your temptation. Conquer that pet sin. And conquer that gossiping tongue. Shout hallelujah, somebody. Reprove. Exhort. Come on with all long suffering. Come on in gentleness. I've had some old skunks. But don't leave the old boat just because there's a skunk on the old boat. Just fall on your knees. Don't go talk to Sister So-and-so about Sister Skunk-and-so who's stirring up a stink in the women's group or stirring up a stink at youth group. Rather find you a place to pray. Get on your knees and say, oh, God, in the name of Jesus, get a hold of Sister Skunk and Brother Skunk. Change them, Lord. I don't want them to go to hell. I want them to stay on the old boat. But they're not going to be here long if you don't change them. I'm telling you, I've seen God reach down by his mighty power and pull the old stink right out of them. Shout hallelujah. I'm on the boat. I'm on the boat. I'm on the boat. I'm on the boat. God can pull the stink right out of them. The elephants like to step on folks. God can tame them. Come on, somebody shout amen. Who's on the old boat? Lions, tigers, and you got a few monkeys. Settle down, Brother So-and-so. Y'all don't look like that. I know y'all ain't that holy. Y'all had a few monkeys on your old boat. Settle down, old monkey. You need the Holy Ghost, old monkey. There's your message for Sunday, preachers. Go home and preach. You need the Holy Ghost, you old monkey. You old elephant. You old hippo. You old skunk. You need the Holy Ghost. Come on. Who's on the boat? Well, I won't read it, but I'll tell you where it's at for time's sake. My pastor's probably looking for me at the concession stand. Woo! Keep the candy cold. Chapter 8, Genesis. Let me just read two verses. Verse 8. Also, he sent forth a skunk. No. He sent forth a buzzard. No. He sent forth, everybody shout, a dove! From him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground, but the dove found no rest, and the rest stored there. But my point to you is, who's on the boat? The dove. Somebody shout the dove. One of my preacher friends, Brother Brian McDonald, preached a camp meeting service. I believe it's camp meeting service. Anyway, I heard him preach about the dove. No, don't cage the dove. And oh Lord, I ate that mess up. I said, I got to preach that one. Come on, somebody. I've been wanting to preach on the dove on the ark ever since I heard Brother Mac preaching. And God gave me a chance this morning. Shout hallelujah. I said the dove was in the ark. Y'all can think what you want to. The lion had his corner. The elephant had his corner. The skunks had their corner. The monkeys had their corner. But the dove just flew around the ark. Hallelujah. Come on. I said the dove flew all over the ark. Come on. The dove was cooing and flying all over the ark. Woo! Woo! You can tell if it's an old boat church, because if they ain't got no dove on the ark, you better run. If they ain't got a dove on the old boat, you better run, because every old boat is going to have the dove. The dove is the Holy Ghost. Somebody shout Holy Ghost. Shout Holy Ghost. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's freedom. There's power. There's holiness. There's joy. There's peace. There's power. There's victory. There's glory. Hallelujah. Shout the dove. Woo! Lift your hands and praise him. Come on, somebody. There's peace. Wonderful peace. On the old boat. Because the dove is manifesting the Prince of Peace. The captain. The true captain of the boat. His hand is on the stern. His name is Jesus. He's the pilot of this old boat. Let me be hasty toward the close of this message. Jesus is about to come. Most of you, a lot of you are wearing a t-shirt. It says, rapture ready. In the blink of an eye. In the blink, the twinkle. It's actually even faster than a blink. The twinkle of an eye. The old boat's out of here. The old boat may not look like all the other new boats. Maybe a little tattered and torn. Maybe Brother Barley may have a few little scars on the side of the old boat. Because I've been down Brother Barley's before. Went with his uncle fishing. I can tell you right now, they had that boat in that water many times before this old chalk dog got to get on there and catch two big old redfish. Woo! Oh, y'all asked me about that after church. Come on. But I can tell that old boat had been in the water. I'm telling you, there's a lot of new boats, Brother Sweeney. But Jesus is coming. I said, Jesus is coming! I don't care what that old preacher said.
I said, I still believe in the rapture. I don't care what that old foolish preacher said. I still believe in the rapture. It's going to happen, and it could happen today. Shout hallelujah. I'm rapture ready because I'm on the old boat. Woo!
The old boat may not be. It may have scars because it's in the water. Come on, somebody. That old boat has been through the storm, the winds, and the storm, and the lightning, and the thunder. That old boat's been through it, brother Abraham. That old boat's been through it, Evangelist Taylor. This old boat that I've been on it for now on 30 years now, but it's still afloat today. I'm going to tell you right now, I wouldn't trade this old boat for all the new fancy boats in the world, in America. Just give me an old boat. Give me an old boat built out of a Calvary's wood. Amen. Hallelujah. Covered with the blood inside and out. It's got the dove on it. It's got a door in it. Shout hallelujah. This boat has been tested. I've been on this old boat. This old boat has carried me and my wife and my baby girls through the storm of my wife's brain tumor. Rocking a boat, and my baby girls was 3 and 2 years old. We found out she had a brain tumor. They thought it was cancer. I'll never forget the night she had a grand mal seizure, and she was set up in a fetal position. Her head was cocked. She was shaking. Her face was ashy gray. I know that night she was crossing over. Her lips were turning blue. And when I flipped the light on, there she was. I went to the phone, tried to call the ambulance, tried to get a hold of my next door neighbor. Couldn't get a hold of nobody. I remember screaming at the top of my voice and said, my God, I can't get a hold of anybody. I run back and that fell across her body. I said, Jesus, it ain't time for her to die. We still got a ministry to fulfill. Hallelujah. Woo!
Several months later, after brain surgery, they said it was benign, was not cancerous, in other words. And today she's still by my side, playing that piano. And when I go to singing, she's going this number. She plays by ear. She said, babe, you sang in every key. Come on, somebody. And I always get in trouble because she said, before you take the pulpit to sing a song, would you please tell me what you're going to sing? Come on. But I love her. She's my honey, babe. She's the love of my life. She's my sweetie. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. The devil tried to take her. Death tried to steal her. But God on the old boat said, no, 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 no. She's going to live. Rise up, daughter of God, and be healed. Shout hallelujah, somebody. The dove flying around. We went through that storm 6 years ago. I know this old, I'm on the old boat. This old boat of mine, because we went through a depression storm for 7 months. I walked the valley of deep depression, lost a church that had a powerful ministry going on, powerful youth group every Wednesday night, 45 to 50 teenagers, powerful children's church with 2 or 3 children's church teachers. We had a missions ministry that was fixing to go to Africa. Built 3 or 4 or 5 tabernacles in Africa for a missionary in Africa. I'd already started taking my shots. We were averaging 145 people in Sunday school every Sunday morning. We was averaging 150 plus on Sunday night and Wednesday night. Hallelujah to God. It's not only the number, and it wasn't all the number there. Amen. We seen folks saved, filled the Holy Ghost. I'd give an altar call, and every aisle would be full. The altars would be full. People shouting, dancing, falling out in the Holy Ghost. Teenagers praying for mamas and daddies, etc. Come on! I went through depression. Lost the church. Lost everything. I still had my family, though. And God carried us through the darkest storm of our life. And I'm here today. When the devil told me, you'll never preach another truth camp. You failed those kids you preached to. You're going to jump off of this ledge. I went to a park, climbed out on the edge of a rock in depression. Wife didn't know where I was at. She kept calling me. I kept hitting the ignore button. Looking over the edge of that cliff, devil said, you're a failure. You're not preaching anymore. You're going to lose your church. You failed your family, your wife, your kids, your denomination, your church. And I've seen many of your faces, some of the older, some of y'all got kids and of your own now, but I see your faces. You're a failure to them. You'll never preach there again. But guess what? I was on the old boat. And the old boat carried me through the storm. Shout hallelujah, somebody. And I got to quit. The old boat is the one that's going to sail. And she's getting ready to sail just any day now. I'm going to take a trip in a good old gospel ship. Which one of you piano players knows that song? Come on. Brother Sweeney, you got that in your songbook or you know some of it? Come on, I need a piano player real quick. We're going to come to the altar and pray. Hallelujah. Come on. I'm going to take a trip. I need a drummer, piano player, guitar players. Come on. We're going to take a trip in the good old gospel ship. We're sailing far beyond the sky. Woo, I'm going to shout and sing while all the heavens ring. Oh, come on, somebody. For the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. But yea, have I not promised to save those that will call upon me, saith the Lord. Yea, repent, repent, for the time of thy departure is at hand. For the Lord thy God doth come, and yea, he come quickly. Surely he shall come quickly, saith the Lord. Yea, repent, repent, and come to him, saith the Lord. For today is the day of salvation. Today be saved, saith the Lord. For my coming is even at the door. I come quickly to receive those unto myself that have given of themselves unto me, saith the Lord. I come for you, my children, for I do love thee, saith the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lift your hands and love the Lord right now all over this building. Come on, come on. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory be to the Son of God. Ooh. I want to know how many people this morning across this sanctuary, you may be saved, maybe you're not saved, maybe you're backslid, but this is a general altar call. I want everybody this morning who wants to be on the old boat, who's thankful for your old boat church and your old boat youth group and your old boat youth pastor and your old boat pastor and pastor's wife. If you want to be on the old boat, somebody shout the old boat. Now, I thought about this illustration, and so we're going to have to be careful. Don't nobody get hurt. And everybody can't get up here, so that don't mean you don't want on the real old boat. But everybody that wants on the old boat, I want you to come as quickly as possible. Don't run over nobody. Don't hurt nobody. But I want some of you get up here on the platform. This platform represents the old boat. I want you up here on the steps. I want you on the old boat. Whoa, come on. Come on. Keep coming. Keep coming. I'm going to get on the old boat. This is the old boat. Come on, everybody. Get on the old boat. Hallelujah. Lift your hand, young people. Start praising God. Amen. Amen. Let's pack out the old boat. Let's pack out the old boat. Lift your hands and start praying. Lift your hands and start worshiping God. If you feel a shout or a dance, just be careful and don't hurt nobody because you're kind of crowded. If you really want to shout and dance, got to get down here on this floor. But right now, lift your hands. Come on, youth pastors. Come on, pastors. Amen. We're getting them on the old boat. Lift your hands and worship God, young people. You're on the old boat. You're in the safest place you could ever be. You don't need to be anywhere else but on the old boat. The rest of the young people may be drinking. Maybe drinking Coors on Saturday night. Cruising Maine. Amen. looking for the babes, but you're going to be in youth group on Saturday night, Helen Thursday night, and Wednesday night. Come on, somebody. Come on, counselors, help me pray. Lift your hands, young people. This old ship's about to sail. Let's sing it, Brother Sweeney. Let's do it, musicians. This old ship, hallelujah, is about to sail. I'm going to take a trip on the good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the starry skies. I'm going to shout and sing while all the heaven ring, Pastor Bolly, while I go sailing through the air. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. Come on. Yeah. Oh, we on the boat. We on the boat. We're rapture ready. We're rapture ready. Hallelujah. If you're not rapture ready, ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin. If you've been an old skunk lately, ask the Lord to take your stinker out. If you've been an elephant stepping on folks, ask God to tame you. Hallelujah. Oh, my God, I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Come on, come on. Come on, the old boat. The old boat. The old boat. I'm sailing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's covered with blood inside and out. It's built out of Calvary's tree. It's built out of Calvary's wood. Covered by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. It's got the dove. The dove's
flying.
The dove is loose. I said the dove is loose. He's flying on this old boat. He's flying over you and in you.
Hallelujah.
The old boat is full of the Holy Ghost. The old boat is full of the Holy Ghost. The old boat is full of the wood. Built out of the rack wood. Built out of gopher wood. Built out of gopher wood.
When I'm meeting this world goodbye.
Come on. Built out of gopher wood. Built out of Calvary's wood, covered with the blood. Hallelujah. You can be set free on the old boat. You can be delivered on the old boat. You can have victory on the old boat.
Oh,
it's covered by the blood. Built out of Calvary's wood. Hallelujah.
I'm going far beyond the sky.
Come on.
Until the heather
you can have the Holy Ghost. I said you can have the Holy Ghost.
Oh, I'm gonna take a trip on the good old gospel ship.
Come on, girls.
I'm going.
Come on, ladies. Come on, girls. You can have the Holy Ghost.
I'm gonna shout and sing.
He's on the boat.
Until the heather sweep. Oh. When I'm meeting this world.
He's on the boat, son. He's on the boat.
I'm gonna take a trip.
The Holy Ghost is on the boat.
The good old gospel ship.
Jesus is on the boat.
I'm going.
I'm going to shout it.
The good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond.
Come on, Autumn. Come on, Sister Autumn.
I'm going to shout and sing until the heavens
ring. You're on the old boat.
When I'm meeting
this world goodbye.
Give God the glory.
We're going to make it. When this old world goes
fire. I'm going to take a trip.
When this old world
suffering.
Under the judgment.
I'm going far beyond.
And the wrath of the Lamb.
The sky.
The wrath of God. We're going to be on the old boat.
I'm going to shout and sing until the heavens ring. When I'm meeting this world goodbye.
I said when this whole world is suffering
I'm
from the wrath
trip on
of God,
the gospel ship.
We're going to be on the
I'm
old boat.
I'm going far beyond the sky.
Yeah,
I'm going to shout and sing until the heavens ring. When I'm meeting